5, 4, there we go. Test, test, the loud test. Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. Everybody say, hey, Dave, on 3, 1, 2, 3.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, y'all. How you doing? So I want you to be praying for, there's a lot of folks sick. You know, we get a lot of text in. There's folks that are working today, and I'm thankful that they have jobs. We're praying that God will change their schedules, you know, so that they can enjoy this first day of the week. First gathering of the new year. I'm super stoked. 2026. Any of you guys think you'd live this long? When I was a kid, I didn't think I would live to, you know, beyond 2000. And, you know, we're 26 years into it. I was a bit of a hellion. So I wasn't a bit of a hellion. I was quite a bit of a hellion. So I'm paying for it a little bit, but that's all right. That's why I teach these young guys, don't smoke, don't drink, don't chew, and don't hang out with girls that do. So just because you pay, right? There's a debt to be paid for the things that you do early on. And I love that God frees us up from it. But if I steal a paperclip from somewhere, if I take a pen, a message, stay ready. What does that say? Stay ready, right? Stay ready. What does that mean to stay? It means to hold fast. Anybody got hold fast tattooed anywhere? Hang on, whatever. Okay, no. Hold fast. Stay ready. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Mary Lou will pass them out for you there. Stay ready. Jesus called to urgent readiness while watching for his return. While watching for his return. Are you guys got your head in the clouds? I don't know if you saw what I saw this morning, but did you see the faded moon? A faded moon is usually a full moon that's just right over about 8. So you'll see it tomorrow, 7:30 or 8 o'clock over the hills. If the sky is clear, the sunlight is so bright at that angle, the moon looks like a cloud. It's just faded. I was driving in like this, you know, most of the time just watching it because you don't get to see it all the time, you know. So let me ask you a question. It's on your sheet. It's on your sheet. By the way, this sheet, take it home with you this week. It can be something that you can use because there's something every day of the week for you to work through. Take somebody in your home through that sheet with you, right? How prepared do you feel right now for Christ's sudden return? How prepared do you feel? Jot a note down. You can write while you're here. There's clipboards in the back. They're little bitty. They look like this. You can turn them over backwards. They're floppy, so you can sling them. If you guys talk too much during service, I'm going to whack you with one of them. Okay. Number two, what areas of your life show faithfulness in the little things God has trusted you? Let me tell you something. I go back and I look at the coffee machines. If the coffee machines have water spots on them, that's not a faithful in the little things. I look at the communion. If there's fingerprints on the communion tray, we're not being faithful in the little things. If the guys come in and put just handfuls of communion pieces in there, you understand that when they put a pile of communion pieces in there, whatever's left over, we have to, by law, throw them away. That's $8 a bag, and we throw away 50% of it. Do you understand that bag cost me $12? You see how that works? We do 3-level scoops in the coffee. Well, I like darker coffee. Great, go to Starbucks. That's not what we do. You know why we do 3-level? All these little things add up. We ask you, take a bag of trash home if you can. Well, it leaks. Put a second bag around it, no leak. All right, if too leaky for you, I'll carry it off. You know, we don't have a trash service. Why? I don't care if we were 500 people and we were a 12-bag church. We would have 12 people take bags of trash home then as well. Why? Because we're watching the pennies. We're faithful in the little things. I'm trying to use things like wiping stains off. Or I walked in and Bubba just cleaned all the doors. We used to have somebody come in and clean all the windows, so now we're changing crews, right? And so he just got done cleaning all the windows. And I seen a little kid about this high go in and goes, eh? He licked that thing from bottom to top. He's got more Clorox in his tongue than his shorts do. You know? So you know what I did? I grabbed a napkin. I said, boy, get over and clean it. And he goes over and and of course, Glenn's face is, if you don't ever watch Glenn's face, you should. It's monumental. He sees and listens to everything you do, so watch out. No, I'm kidding. Don't watch out. Be yourself, but watch out. Anyway, he just saw that little kid come back and put the thing in the trash, and he had the grandpa smile. You guys know the grandpa smile. You don't say much. You just have that pleased look on your face. That's what it looked like for that little fella. You know, he was just, he, no, we're not doing that. Three, where have you experienced, listen, where have you experienced division or conflict because of knowing Jesus? Some of you, that could be in school, college, high school, junior high. Some of you, that can be in your own home. I personally know what that's like. Some of you personally know what that's like, right? You had friends that left your acquaintance. Maybe you left theirs. Maybe you just go to their house for a little one-hour party when they're doing Dusk Till Dawn or whatever, and you're just popped in for a minute, but you're not staying with them the whole run. What sign of times do you see today that call for urgency in your faith? What are some of the signs of time? Wars and rumors of war? Now, by the way, them picking up that fella down there in Venezuela, that's not a war. You understand? That guy was put, he was charged 5 years ago, and Trump won. Who was the guy after him? Biden, and now Trump? They let him slide until now. Finally, they've picked him up. Have you seen some of the people down in Venezuela? I got friends that are Venezuelan that live here now, because I remember when, who was the guy before this idiot? Chavez, right? Hugo Chavez, right? I remember seeing a pallet full of $100 bills, Venezuelan, compared to another pallet that had a single $100 bill. You had to have a pile of $100 bills. And it's a pile. It's not little. And they're stacks of stacks, pallet size, just to equate one $100 bill here in America. That country was the second most financially stable country in all of the Americas, even more than Canada, but not as much as the U.S. Venezuela was that. And they ran it down instantaneously. Chavez ran it down, and then when he died, the next guy came it in, he ran it down, and even worse. And you know what they did? He went and stole all of the investors. Some of you have financial portfolios that have investment in oil, right? That hit you. They took all their oil pipelines and all the money that they had invested, that you put your gas in your car and put your plastic for, paid for. That guy's been taken out. I'm thankful that there is righteous bends along the way. Do you know those people were just waiting for somebody to come in and make a difference? Let me tell you on a different theme. You've got that. There are people waiting right now to hear about Jesus, the Christ. And you won't stick it out in here to get your notes, and you won't stick it out there to be engaged. It is not that hard. It's not that hard. You get? It's easy. Start praying for people. Start with your wait staff. Pray there. Just start praying for them. Pray for your mom. Pray for your sister. Pray for your brother. Pray for whoever. Pray for the person that you hate. I know hate is not a Christian value, but if you're not loving on people by the default, you're kind of speaking Satan's love language, which is hate. How ready are you to give an account to God for how you lived and served? How ready are you for that? Is he going to recognize you when he comes? I'm sure he will, many of you. In this room, I think probably more on the upside of that. These are good questions to ask. These are not bad questions to have in your repertoire. Say, Lord, I'm just checking in. Where am I at? You know, we have David who had that in his heart of hearts. He said, Lord, search me out and see if there's any unclean thing in me. He had the favor of God. But you know what? He's like the rest of us. Unchecked, outside of fasting and praying and getting close to the Lord, we'll get dark pretty quick. You know, you're sitting right here. Some of you probably had a dark thought coming through a time or two. I remember I was sitting there listening to Tom Stipe. Man, he was just preaching it one day. I was like, yeah, yeah. And all of a sudden, he was hitting this other high point, and all of a sudden, this thing came into my head where it was this knife that stabbed into somebody's eye. And I'm like, I didn't watch any creepy movies. I didn't have chocolate. I didn't have pizza. Why is that in my head? Well, guess what? For that about 10-second, 12-second riff, I was off that point that he was making. Thank goodness they had cassette tapes and I could go back and listen to it, right? But the enemy wants to trip you up constantly. It's okay to ask those questions. It's okay to examine where you are. It is okay to do that. And by the way, you should. You know, I'm a goal setter. My goals were set back in November for this year. Some of you haven't even started yet. That's your world, not mine. If you are starting your goal setting on January 2, because I never do anything on 1, but watch football. Jan 2, I've already passed you by. You're waiting on, you're backing up because I'm moving forward. Do you understand how that works? One of your goals should be, we talked about it last week, the last time we gathered. We talked about we don't have to wait till Jan 1 to change what's going on. Maybe you want to have more time in the Word. Maybe you want to have, you're so in the Word that you really don't have any other life but being in the world. Maybe a season, or that's your little trusted move and you haven't got out and helped make peace. And it's not peace between a sister and a sister fighting, or a brother or a friend or whatever. That's not what the peacemaker is. The peacemaker has so changed from being a sluggard like I was into now they've got a righteous bend. They're drawn into the Lord tight, tight. They're expressing mercy to everybody. And one of the next steps it says in the Sermon on the Mount is blessed, or happy is the peacemaker, for they'll be called in the New King James sons of God. For us, people of God, Jesus people. That making peace with other folks is showing them the Christ, because they're at war with Him. Do you understand? That's what this is about. It's not making peace. Yeah, you shouldn't have the kids fighting. You should have hit him harder. That's how Dad will correct, right? Because, hey, they hit him harder one time, the other won't mess with him. I have a second cousin in Kansas. He makes donut balls now, or what do you call those little holes? I don't know why they call them holes. It's not a hole. It's a ball. The hole's left in the donut, but we don't sell that, but whatever. Okay, donut holes. He sells donut holes. He used to pick on his younger brother and picked and picked and picked. That younger brother got up to be about 19, and he was a whoa, karate kind of guy. He stood up and went, one move, foot to the face, smacked the big old boy down on the ground. The big old boy never messed with him again, you know? That's why Dad operates like that. Knock him out. He'll quit. All right, let's jump into Luke. Father, you know what you want to do with it. Yeah. Brother, I set those Luke segments separately so you don't have to go through the one. So there you go. Be dressed and ready. Faithful servants await the Master. That's the title of this part. Be dressed and ready. Be dressed for service. Did y'all dress when you came in today? Yeah? No? Okay, good. Thank you for dressing. For service, keep your lamps burning. Right? Keep your lamps burning as though you were waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then you'll be ready to open the door, let him in, and the moment he arrives and knocks. Why would he have to knock? I don't know. No key, wood key, stone key. Doesn't matter. You're there to open the door for your master, your owner, your boss. The servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. I tell you the truth. This is Jesus talking. When Jesus says, I tell you the truth, what do you think he means? The truth. It's not his truth. It's not small t truth. Jesus is capital T truth. I tell you the truth. He himself will sit at the table, set them at the table, put on an apron, and serve them as they sit and eat. The master's been gone. He's coming home. They open the door. Y'all done so good. Sit down. I'm going to feed you. Wow. Do you know how wonderful it is to feed somebody? That's Mary's one of her gifts. You don't know that. Why do you think she likes being in the kitchen and doing all that stuff? It's not that she wants to be a waiter or anything like that, or a kitchen staff. She is showing you love. Did you know that? You eat some of her food that came from her hands. It's some good stuff. Dave, you're too fat. Well, I got a fat cooking wife, you know. Actually, I have no constraint or restraint. He may come in the middle of the night. This is the master. Or just before dawn. But whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready, Jesus says. Understand this. I love it when Jesus says, understand this. Are you listening? He wants you to understand it. Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would not permit his home to be broken into. I'm going to tell you something. You come into my home unannounced, you're going to get some lead coming your way. And it'll come your way quick. You understand? We got little toys all through my house. I got toys with me. I got toys in my car. I got toys in my home. And we're not talking Mattel trucks and Tonka trucks. All right? But I will tell you, even though I have ringing in my ears, takes about 35% of my hearing, I hear stuff at night, all night long. Mary snoring. No, I'm kidding. I hear the, I'm kidding. She doesn't snore much. I hear all sorts of things. I do too. She's got a cute little kitty cat snore. Those little, like a kitty cat purring. Yeah, the kitty cat snores. Okay, let me get back to it. Woo, off the ranch. You also must be ready all the time for the Son of Man to coming when least expected. Do you understand the readiness here? Ready, engage. We went up for pizza. I met with my brother-in-law and sister and all of their lineage, and they had gone snow tubing. We stopped at Bojo's. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Not Bojo's Arvada. Bojo's up on the hill, right? So we stopped there, and the table was set. I always have my back to a wall where I can see everything coming. My nephew sat in that spot. Ooh. Well, he's a 20-year military veteran, Army, you know, so infantry and tanks. I didn't worry about my six because he had it, you know. I like to be ready there. When I walk into a place, I want to know where my exits are. If I'm going into a store for a first time, the first thing I do is I stop and I lay the land. I know where my exits are. My number one goal is to get my bride out of there safely and completely. My number two goal is to get me out of there safely and completely. And if you're with me, my number one and two goal will coincide. Do you understand? But most folks there, I'm not there to be a hero. Sorry. I'm there to cover my own. If you didn't protect your own, that's on you. Now, do you think I'm going to not take care of somebody? I'm going to probably do what I can, you know. So anyway, there you are. Where am I? Ah. Active readiness. Say it. Active readiness. That means you're engaged. You're ready to go. You're ready to be involved. I don't care what the deal is going on. Their culture, the men wore robes all the way down to their shoes or sandals. And they had a rope to cinch everything up. But when they needed to go to work or fight, they'd pull that robe up real high and tuck it in under the rope so their little legs would be able to move quick. You ladies ever wear long dresses? Yes, no, ladies? Yeah. Do you walk differently in a long dress than you do in your britches? Yes? Kind of different? Yeah. You kind of go, do-do-do-do-do-do-do, right? Right? Okay, well, same thing with those guys. They may not go do-do-do-do, but it'll be like that. But they get that, they call that girding up. Say it. Girding up. That's where they pull that up so they can be ready to work or go into battle, whatever that may be. I love that piece. He talks about the lamps. You know, those are little clay pots. Some of them be like a little deal like this with ropes on them that are high up, waxed up in there, and they'd have a wick sticking out of it. Well, you know, you got to trim that wick every now and then, or so it'll burn brighter. They have to add oil. These folks would be doing this all night long for when the master comes home. He's away at a wedding, maybe gone 7 days, 10, and he comes back whenever he comes back. What do you think he's going to do if they're lazy? Think that through. Servants couldn't slack off. They wouldn't. They would be shifted, obviously, working midnights or whatever. There'd be shift. Some of you work late night shifts and you sleep all night. If you're paid to do that, that's fine. But you dang sure better have some kind of something that wakes you up if need is there. You know? For me, if you're paid to work and be awake, you better be working awake. Dave, you're a hard taskmaster. No, I'm not. That's what you're paid to do. It's contractual. Stay alert. Door ready to open, right? But his reward is a role reversal. He's going to feed them. He's going to take care of them. We would look at Revelation 3:20. You don't have it. We would look at Revelation 3:20 where it says, hey, open the door, bring me in, we'll chill and have food together. You have food together, you chat it up, right? Similar thing here. This constant readiness is absolutely essential. Look, I like what David Guzik says here. He says, joyful expectation like a bride waiting for her groom. We sang that. Let me tell you where I saw that. There was a girl here that got married, 18. She was a girl till she walked through those doors. She became a woman. But I worked through, her name's Trinity, and her husband's now name is Tucker. Let me tell you something. I worked with them through marriage prep stuff that we have. That girl was so excited to even talk about her Tucker, right? And then when we get on the Zoom thing or whatever they did, man, she was just giddy. And when it was over, she was like, it was a great expression. I am so thankful I got to see it. By the way, Trinity, if you're here, you're hearing it later, never. I'm using your story and I don't care because that's a good story. One, she looked like a woman when she walked through that door. Two was, I now have a vivid picture of a young, unobstructed bride waiting for her groom, waiting to get married. And I know some of you have been married a long time. You're going, I'm just waiting for him to get out of my house. I mean, go home to Jesus. Right? No, I'm kidding. Maybe. The expectation of the groom needs to be gentle, familiar, unique, freshly blown into. Some of you have faded that. You've like that faded moon. You know, you're just not there again. Well, you know something? Get close to the Lord. Repent. It comes back post haste, as soon as you've done it with great expedience. Sleeping on duty would have been a shame. It would have been a sad thing. Today we have robe drop distractions, right? Phones, entertainment, complacency. What you got to do is gird up your mind, keep your spiritual lamp fueled. Bible study together. Get on there with Anna Beard Greeno and her email. You can probably type her name and get that location. Live each day with an open door for Jesus. Look at what it says here in 1 Peter 1:13. This is Peter who spent time with Jesus. He got all the lessons, right? So prepare your minds for action and, watch this, exercise self-control. That's meekness. That means you get out here and want to do all these spastic things. Dude, rein that in, tighten it up, cinch up your belt. We don't want to see your plumber crack. Let's get going to work. Right? Dial that in. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Isn't that cool? That's an encouragement from Peter. I like what Chuck says also. Chuck Smith, the founder of Calvary Chapels by and large. Stay ready, eyes on the door. Stay ready, eyes on the door. Stay ready. The door is, again, you're the servant for the master coming home. The door here is the clouds in the sky. Jesus coming back. Luke 12:41-48. Peter asked, Lord, was that illustration just for us or for everyone? And the Lord replied, a faithful, sensible servant is one whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. You know what that's called? T-R-U-S-T. It's a T rust, not I rust. Make sure you don't rust this thing away. Make sure you can be trusted. You know, you guys know here in leadership, I'm a firm and fair guy. If I've given you a task, I trust you to do the task. I'm going to give you a way to do it, learn the way to do it, and then get your artwork from that. But it's always going to be with whatever you started, you finish and clean up and you wipe a cabinet down, dry it. You understand how that works? Why do you dry a cabinet? Because it leaves all that little sticky mildew on there. The kids were doing communion here today. Yes, Burger Nose kids were doing your communion. But they washed their hands, they washed their face, they wore their little hairnets. They were so cute, right? And they had the lid. And they took the lid off and set it over there so you could put the cups in. I walk in, they're putting they got juiced up. We made some adjustments there. And I lifted up the lid, I rubbed my hand on it, I said, rub your hands on this. And there was gunk from before. We always start with a clean and dried surface. We end with a clean and dried surface and everything in between. You set expectations on people, they will always meet them. If you have low expectations, they will always meet them. Do you understand? Expectations for me are always a little bit more than what you can reach. You'll have to get up or get on a chair to get to it. Why? Because my core, do not neglect the gift that's in thee. You guys have things that you can do that take you beyond your measure. Listen, men especially, you get trapped in whatever and you don't have somebody to encourage you on, believe me, I'll bring you a little kicking. Okay, got it? I don't mean that in a jerkish way. If the master in 43 returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth, here Jesus is again. The master will put that servant in charge of all he owns. People, do you understand that you have been put in charge of part or all that Christ owns? First one is you, because he owned you. You were already owned by Satan when you lived in the world until you gave your life to Jesus and started selling out for him. And that cross, there's a cross over here and over here. That cross is the mark of value for you. Can I ask you a question? When was the last time you were crucified for somebody else? Weighted question, isn't it? Let me tell you where that shows up. When you put yourself on the back burner and you get out and do the things for the Lord, of the Lord, with the Lord, on the account of others, that they too no longer are yets, but they're now part of the family. Are we clear? Don't give up. Definitely don't give in. Do not give in to the world. In 45, but what if the servant thinks, my master won't be back for a while, and he begins beating the other servants, partying and getting drunk? That master in 46, the master will return unannounced, unexpected, and he will cut the servant in pieces. Isn't that something? And banish him with the unfaithful. And 47, and a servant who knows what the master wants but isn't prepared, doesn't carry out those instructions, will be severely punished. This is Jesus telling us to be prepared. Right? God, thought he was all Jesus, meek and mild. He is. He's telling you how he wants it. But what if someone does not know and then does something wrong? Well, he'll be only punished lightly. Probably we'd say corrected. You'll be corrected. It's okay. You know, those kids, they were filling those communion cups to the top. Well, you know what happens? Those kids put it against their tummy. Time it gets up here, you got communion goo all over the place, right? So we have a certain level that we have, and we made a correction. I didn't go in there and just lash them and beat the tar out of them. I wanted to. No, I'm kidding. I didn't want to. They're good. They're beautiful children. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has entrusted with much, even more will be required. That is not an Avengers comment. This is where it starts. This is where it starts. Right? Peter wants clarity. He expands the principle to all believers, Jesus does. Faithful servant feeds the household at proper times, manages with care, rewarded with great authority. Do you live your life under the Lord's hand? I didn't say thumb that he can squish you down. Do you live under his hand? You want your life like that. Why? Because he's so good. When he comes home, dude, he's making the food. Sit down at the table. Cornucopia right here for you. You guys know what a cornucopia is? You ever seen that wicker basket looking thing with all the... Okay. Look it up. You got Dr. Google. What is that cut in pieces thing? Well, you got to understand we all have idioms, right? Right? This is an idiom. They're not going to literally cut them into pieces and send them in 12 parts to 12 different locations. Not in this story. That just means he's going to lash them. Well, what about the person who didn't know any better? Don't do that again. Boy? You understand? That's all it is. Just an idiom for you're going to get lashed. You're going to be in trouble. Whatever in trouble looks like. There's a degree of accountability. We talked a little about that earlier. The more revelation and responsibility God gives you, the more he expects in faithful return. Do you have expectation of your children, or are they just going to poop all over the floor and nobody cleans it up and they don't have a diaper until they're 25? Are we seeing how disgusting that is? You better put the disciplines in your children and make sure that they have those disciplines. And oh, by the way, you need those disciplines yourself. And when the discipline falls through, punishment comes in. We're not going to beat the kids till there's, right? We may give them a little wake-up call. You let your kids play on the street, yes or no? No, we did. We played on that street, but they would never let us play on I-25. A different discipline, right? Requires, you're going to go out on I-25, punishment. Okay, you got it? Matthew 24, 45 through 51. This is where Luke gets this, is from Matthew. Remember, Luke has gone out and he has interviewed people over a long period of time to get this information back to most excellent Theophilus. In 45, a faithful, sensible servant, one to whom the master can give responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all he owns. Think Joseph. You got that? Took care of dad's stuff. Brothers didn't like it. Sold him to Potiphar. His house was in order. His wife went, whoo, and he went, no. Got thrown in jail. Jail ran the best. Got put under Pharaoh. Egypt ran the best. You understand? Think that. But while the servant, in 48, but what if the servant is evil and thinks, my master won't be back for a while and he beats the other servants, party getting drunk, the master will return unannounced, unexpected. He'll cut the servant into pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In the place that there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, the metaphor put into practicality, the weeping and gnashing of teeth is they had a chance to make the decision and never did for Christ. They won't be tormented, but their decision will cause them angst forever. Why would God do that to them? You need to read John 3:17. The Son of Man came not to condemn the world, but through the Son of Man, the world might be saved. It's already condemned. He's here to save it, and you're there to broadcast it. Are we clear? You own the responsibility. The Master is coming. No more delay, excuses. Live accountably today, Jack Gibbs. Scripture, Luke 12, 49 through 53. I have come to set the world on fire, and I wish it were already burning. Does that scare you? It's not that kind of fire. It's another idiom. Dude, I want the Holy Spirit to be released, and people just like a prairie fire. People will come to know the Lord, and they'll no longer be at war with the Lord. Peace will be settled by me, Holy Spirit, and the people that have Him. That's y'all. That's me. Clear? Clear as mud? No, clear as water. I have a terrible baptism of suffering ahead of me. I'm under a heavy burden until it's accomplished. 51, do you think I've come to bring peace to the earth? No, I have come to divide people against each other. That sounds mean. Yeah, well, you're unschooled in the understanding of it's natural when people don't want to be shaped into the ways of the Lord. They want to be their own God, thus selfish, thus self-focused, thus being of under the enemy's rule. Simply or macro. Paperclip to murder, using my earlier example. Pre-recording. I have come to divide people against each other. He's not saying I'm doing that with intent. It's just natural. You're either for Jesus or you're for the enemy. I hate saying the S name, and it's not the one you think it is. It's the enemy. Yeah. I hate that name. From now on, families will be split apart. Three in favor of me, two against, or two in favor of me and three against. The father will be against a son against a father, mother against a daughter against a mother, mother-in-law against a daughter-in-law against a mother-in-law. Think about it. He is letting you know that when you walk with and for Jesus, it will cause a separation. One of my family members had never spoke of the Lord and got bristled or quiet or moved on and walked out of the room. And on a text that I got this year, said something about, I don't remember verbatim, isn't our Lord great? This person has never spoken for the Lord, ever. His actions look like it, but his words weren't. And it's the first time, and I've known this person a long, long, decades long. Do not give up on people. You got people, write their names down right now. You got people you've given up on. Get it on that sheet of paper. Get it on your prayer list. Write this second. It's not 5 years from now. It is now. Now means
now.
Not of this world. N-O-T-W. Fire represents purifying judgment on sin and the spreading flame of the Holy Spirit's power and zeal. He longs for his mission, his servitude to blaze across the world. Through you. This little light of mine gonna set a prairie fire going and burn the whole dadgum thing down. This little light of mine. You understand? Look, if you're not in the Word, if you're not in with Jesus people and you're not in prayer, you got a hard start, but you also have a new start. Get around Jesus people every Sunday. Get in that Word every day, minimum, no less than 4 days a week, minimum. And be in prayer constantly. You're driving around and so all of a sudden you're in this wonderful prayer time. Why am I doing that? I feel like I'm milking a cow. Here, try this. You're driving around, and all of a sudden you're praying for somebody, and all of a sudden somebody cuts you off. Do you understand that if you allow that person to get in you, they just won, Satan just won, the enemy just won. You just get your eyes back on the Lord. Right then, right there. I don't want to go to church. I just want to sleep in today. It's my only day of the week to sleep in. Okay, great. So you don't want to hang out with other Jesus people. You don't want to be any part of learning, growing, and going, right? That's the pinnacle of selfishness in my view. Do you know why I say it's selfish? Because I used to be that guy. Well, Dave, you have to be here. You're the pastor. I know Mary reminds me when I want to say I just want to stay home. I don't say that. I look forward to coming in. This is a day off for many of you. It's a work day for me, and it doesn't even feel like work. Do you know why? Do you have any idea why? Because we're learning together about the love of Jesus, and He is my Sabbath. He is my rest. Are we clear? Do you understand what that means? That means I don't get as disturbed as I used to get. You won't either. Micah 7, 6. For the sons, I love this was prophesied. Micah 7, 6. For the son despises his father. The daughter defies her mother. The daughter-in-law defies her mother-in-law. A man's household enemies are right in his own home. We're talking about a righteous man. And I have that. I'll have food at my home. And unrighteous people come to my home. Oh, and by the way, when I go out in the restaurant, I'm sitting around unrighteous people. Do you get that? When I go to the gas station, unrighteous people. Because I'm the only righteous person on the planet. I'm the only one that's there that's got my little halo on my head held up by my horns sometimes. Kidding. I understand that I live in an unrighteous world, and guess what? I want to have that same fire as the Lord every time, all day, home or away. Families are fractured over allegiance to Christ. You just got to know that. You just got to know that. Ultimate loyalty is a demand to the Lord. I owe Him my all. There's nothing that I want to reserve back from Him. He paid a monumental price that I will never have to pay. And oh, by the way, I don't have to do a dadgum thing. Are you kidding me? Are you? That's it? That's the worth it is? You guys just seen Christmas gifts given to you or you gave to others, and they're soon cast out and not even thought of. Somebody gave me some Texas Roadhouse gifts. I'm telling you right now, I know right where those things are. That gift that He gave you is way better than Texas Roadhouse, including their fried pickles. Way better. Don't waste it. Don't discard it. Back then, knowing the Lord, it would have divided people in the tradition, in the synagogue. Today, you'll lose family members. He'll heal that divide. The gospel is an offense to the flesh. the gospel, the good news. The war is over. The euangelion, the gospel, wars and is an offense to the flesh. Expect division, but listen, stand firm. Peace with God is worth every cost. Peace with God is worth every cost. Last thing, and then we'll close out. Luke 12, 54 through 59. Then Jesus turned to the crowd and says, you see the clouds beginning to form in the west. And you say, here comes a shower, right? Or here comes the snow. And you're right. Or when the south wind blows, you go, whoo, it's going to be a scorcher, right? And it is. But you fools, or you unlearned, or you should know better than you are. You fools, you know how to interpret weather signs of the earth and sky, but you don't know how to interpret the present times. Why can't you decide for yourself what is right or righteous? You see what's going on right now. We talked about wars and rumors of war, pestilence and yada, yada. You hear about global warming. Dude, that is not even on the radar. The ocean, they said back in the 80s that New York would be underwater. It is in a different way. They owe a lot of debt, but they're not underwater water. You hear about all the tsunamis? What's the other word? Huh? Hurricane? Why they call them hurricanes and not a hemicane? I don't know. Hurricane, but they hear, hurricanes are up. No, they're not. The damage is higher because we live on the coast. Hurricanes are actually down, right? But we have these little devices, you know, that we're like, look, it said seven different news sources. The same story. That's not seven different news. Yet spiritually blind we are. That's what this rolls out to. Ignoring the Messiah. That's what happens. Why can't you decide for yourself what's right? In 58, when you're on the way to court with your accuser, try to settle the matter before you get there. Otherwise, your accuser may drag you before the judge, who will hand over to an officer and you'll be thrown into prison. And if that happens, you won't be free again until you paid every last penny. That's what's up against your brethren. You that are Jesus people in this room, I'm not calling you Christians anymore because I see you acting like Jesus people. And I want you to act like Jesus people. I don't want you to act like, I don't mind Christians, but there's so many of them that, dude, take the cross off. Don't put a Band-Aid over the tattoo because you sure aren't acting like it. You know, please don't advertise that. And I got to be careful. I was just watching a little vignette this morning of a trans dude God called to be a pastor and to teach the word. I'm like, oh yeah, where's this going? And in the midst, he went back to becoming she, even though her body parts were removed, her breasts, she would not be able to allow her children to suckle mom's milk, bore three children, and had her former lover, a man using a woman inappropriately, that became a pastor, that got saved, reverted from transgenderism, and became a woman again, and now she's got this killer ministry to other TG people. This is rated TG, right? And God used that. I'm like, Lord, scratch, scratch, scratch. Lord, I don't get this. And it's like, oh yeah, that was me. I wasn't a TG girl, but my sins were that. Listen, if you had it, we're looking at other people's lives in the Bible. If my name was in that Bible and my story was an open book to you, no, it would not be I would not be happy with that. Now, I would be proud that the Lord saved me from that, you see. Let's not get too high horse that we can't figure out that all have sinned, Romans 3:23, and fallen short of the glory of God. Urgent plea. Settle your accounts. Look, the people then, as they do now, they saw the signs of the times, but they rejected the sign giver, capital S, capital G. today, moral decay, global unrest, gospel spread, signs screaming, urgency, application. Don't read weather better than times. Know the times better than the weather. Settle with God through Christ today. That's the is amiss. Takeaways, conclusion. Live ready and faithful. Live ready and faithful. In Cub Scouts, hold up two fingers. Be prepared. Not like that, like this. Be prepared. Be prepared, right? Gird, be able to walk, run. Eager, actively waiting. Faithful stewards, honored greatly. God doing that for you. Second, embrace the cost of division. Jesus is going to bring fire and a sword decisively, separating families out. It's not that he doesn't care about families. You're wrong if you think that. He cares desperately about them. One thing that he does know is that there's going to be separation because of his righteousness. Let me tell you, before you came to the Lord, tell me you hated Christians. I would believe you. Tell me you dislike their, oh, they think they're Mr. Goody Two Shoes or whatever. No, I'm too Goody Two Boots, right? No, that's what they think. You know why? Because they don't know the love of Christ. And by the way, we're the ones that shows them that. And if we have Christians that don't show the love of Christ, please don't call yourself that. Clear? Don't be that person. Discern and act urgently. Don't wait. Act urgently. Read the spiritual signs. Settle with God now before judgment. Jesus calls us to joyful readiness. I have to tell you something. I like trimming the lamps. I like adding oil to the lamps. I love scrubbing the countertops down here. I love hanging out here. I don't love going over here and going, oh, man, why didn't you finish the job? You had a job. Finish the job. You put something in to get clean up after yourself, right? And he cleans up after me. And I hope that he is pleased, but I'm not one that looks for, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter the kingdom of rest. And the reason I don't do that is I don't want to lose sight of the work that I have today. Quick discussion. Wednesday last, a prayer about getting old. Say it with me. Old. Do the beard. Old. No, never. Don't derail me. Talking about getting old. And I know the average woman is like 79, 80 years old. Average man, 72, right? But let me tell you something. That's your average. My Lord tells me when I go home. You know what I tell people? Plan on living till you're 100. And all the numbers in between will take care of themselves. Well, I'm 103 years old. Well, then plan on 110. But get your mind out of what's not before you now. And get your mind on that which is to come, so that today you're freed up to just live the day. Don't worry about what's to come. Watch this. 9 out of 10 never happens. Stop worrying about that stuff. It trips you up big time. Your homework. Gird up daily. It's on your sheet. Gird up daily. Remove hindrances and get into quick obedience. Get quickly back into that. Don't delay. How many of you already dropped your New Year's resolution or thinking about it? So how many never set one? Oh, why? Look at you. The whole for you, I'd turn it around, but no. The whole room raised their hand, but a couple of liars. No, I'm kidding.
But there's still time.
I
said there's time still.
Every day. New every day. His mercies are new every day, so is your action, right? Examine stewardship. How faithful in your current responsibilities are you? And by the way, if you're doing something that you don't think God has for you to do, then stop doing it. Pull back from that. Get in with the Lord and then go do it. To me, I'm a gadget guy. I'm a Swiss Army knife. Lord, whatever you need, I'll do. I'm not going to wear a dress, but whatever you need, I'll do. You know what I mean? If you need me to scrub toilets, I'm there. I'm going to pick up trash. Nobody else will. I'm not doing it. Well, nobody else will. I will. It's not that kind of thing. Dude, this is your building. This is your life. It reminds me to take care of me by taking care of the building. Did you know that? My dad used to do that all the time. Prepare for division. Pray for boldness where faith costs. Pray boldly for the people that have separated out because you love Jesus. You may have lost. I lost a whole boatload of friends when I came to know Jesus. It cost. Ask me, who are my friends now?
Who are your friends now?
Look around. Look around the room. That's who they are. That's who they are. Brent's back there waving. Pray daily. That's your weekly challenge. It's on your paper. Pray daily. Lord, keep my lamp burning. Make me ready and faithful. Serve actively. Serve actively. You got an owner that loves you. He wants you to joy in the serving. Look, you buy somebody a car or you buy them a meal, that's an amazing feeling inside. You don't eat, but you tip the amount you've eaten. Amazing feeling, especially when the recipient is appreciative. You know, what are you doing with God's gifts? David, I don't have any money. Well, then fast for two meals, save up some money, put it in your sock above your bed, and have that money ready for when you go out. I had a $20 bill. You know, you ever had that? Some of you don't wear a suit, but I got a lot of suit and ties, tuxedo, whatever. And I have a suit in there, and I put $20. Forgot about it. I was going through my suit one day, taking it off. $20. I'm rich. Yeah, that's what you think, right? Woo, $20. Today it's like you buy a pack of gum. But anyway, $20. Woo. And so I set it in the drawer because I heard the Lord say, set it in the drawer, right? So I'm going on, I don't know, a month, two, three, six, whatever goes by. All of a sudden I heard, go get that 20 out of the drawer. I'm like, cool. Wasn't like, what? That's mine. Change that heart. Bless you. And by the way, welcome back. You know why we say welcome back when somebody sneezes? Because the Germans used to think that when you sneezed, your body stopped and you died. And then we come back, they say, God bless you. We just say, welcome back. So, okay, whatever. $20. And I was like, okay, good. And I stuck it in my pocket. I'm doing my cable guy thing. I'm over by Brighton, over by the AutoZone. There's an alley that goes between there and that little strip mall. That's where our cable shop was. And I got my route, and I put everything in. I get in the car, and the van I rode by, and I heard, look left. I look left, and there's the, what do you call those green things? Transformer. And the guy was sleeping on the transformer because it was a chilly night, but not cold. He said, give him the $20. And I said, bro. He's like, because he's been sleeping, he's freaked, he doesn't know. I was like, I got up this morning, God told me to give you this $20 bill. Dude, you would have thought I had a brick of gold. I ain't kidding you. 20, oh man, he's walking around. Oh man, oh, that's all he said. Oh man, God bless you, brother. Oh yeah, you got your 20, now there's a God bless you, brother. No, don't go there. He said, thank you. I said, you're welcome. He said, you don't know what happened? You want to know what happened? Yeah, let me hear what happened. I was riding in a truck in one of those concrete, where they had the big concrete things for the water, you know, big, 6 feet diameter. I was sitting in the back of one of those as the guy was driving on I-80 in one of those. And the guy thought we were going all the way to Chicago. He turns it, and I gave him money. And he turns it Cheyenne and goes south to 25 and drops me off over here. He said, this money. He said, can you get me back up to I-80? And I was like, nope. That's not my job. I'm just giving you the $20. Thank you, brother. I can have something to eat now. Do you understand? Wake up and stay awake. Listen in. Why do we come to church? Because we're getting our marching orders. Why do we come to church? Because we're serving each other. Why do we come to church? So Dave will have somebody to clean the building. Kidding. Actually not. Why do we do this stuff? Why do we read the word? So we'll see him, what he's like, and what not to be. And be refreshed and restored and renewed. Why do we pray? To listen to the one that created you. Do you know? Do you hear? Is that that little? Is that your little? Don't stop her. You don't, can you hear that little humming? You know what that is? Exactly. You know what that is? That's a content heart. Did you hear it? Did you hear it? Now don't get too talkative. Did you hear it? That's your soul. God gave us that in her for this moment, even though it happens all the time. God gave us that for her. That was a gift for you. That's what a contented soul sounds like. For me, it sounds like somebody playing banjo music. You have your sheet, right? What did God show you today? Just give me a couple of people. What did God, look at your sheet. What did God show you today? If not, ask him. I want to ask the men. So men, I want the men to answer first. I don't want the women to answer. I want men to answer first. Why? Because you're men. Yeah. Stud. Black t-shirt men.
You know, you
Real loud, listen up. Right. Yeah, I thought of that too. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, he took her and cut her into 12 pieces into the 12 tribes to come against the tribe of Benjamin. I was just reading that about 3 days ago. Dude, what a disgusting thing. You have to read it. Look up the, cut the prostitute into a, huh? Judges 19. Yeah, that Judges, dude, that's criminal. I mean, in a good way. Yeah, if that works. Somebody else. Another man. Give me another man. I want to hear a man. I'm going to call on you. I'm going to call on every man. If one man doesn't speak, in 3, 2, 1. Go ahead. Brother?
Yeah, you.
Youngest man in here. Almost youngest man in here. Go ahead. Bro, what did you hear? He got down to the wire, so now you got to pay the penalty, but you still did it. You did. You raised your hand. Go. Real loud. Talk loud like a big man. Ooh, he got that deep man voice, don't he?
Okay.
Did you take notes? Okay, take notes next time. Look at me. I'm talking to you man to man. Take notes next time, okay? You'll grow. You'll really grow. When you don't take notes, only 3% of your hour and a half will be remembered. The other, you'll just waste the time. Brother, what'd you get? You're on deck, Johnny. Be ready. Hey, Garros, listen up. Listen up. Holy Spirit speaking. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Perfect. That's what you call a blank sheet goal. Let the Lord write it out. John?
I heard to be prepared for division. And personally, I'm preparing after division.
That's okay.
You know, now I know.
There's not a one and only way. That's just the way it happens. Right, but go ahead, though. What's that? It better be something Jesus, or I'm going to break out my belt sander and we're going
to
grind that off. Huh? Yeah.
What did you tell me?
Oh, hold fast. Yeah. I didn't say to. I just said, okay, all right, brother. Hey, sleepy time. I know. You don't hide from me. Where can I run or hide that you ain't there, Lord? Yeah. Go ahead. Finish this up strong. Let's go. Man's been working 24/7. He's doing 2 and 3 jobs, so yeehaw. Quit. No whining. Okay, well, look at the screen because you've been doing the screens, so you should know there too. So let me ask you, ladies, what did it feel like to hear your men speaking? Speak, ladies.
It feels awesome.
Why? Give me another woman. Oh, you raised your hand. I asked, give me another woman, and he raised his hand. Hang on, Debbie. I'm going to come back. Let Debbie finish off, and then we'll come back to you. Go ahead. Oh, you're done? Boom. Go ahead, sweetie. Okay. Read it out loud. Yell it out. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. 12:2. Thank you. Yeah. Well, hello. I know, right? Yeah, the before was before he actually got into King and got all that fame and glory. You remember that little girl humming? And by the way, ladies, what did you think of men speaking? Just throw it out there. Right. I look shady. Oh, okay. I thought you said you look shady. I was
like,
don't dress like that. Yeah. But Abner, it's a different security. Have you guys seen the video? Have you seen the video of the guy and the gal walking in, going up to like Walmart, and she's talking about all the stuff she's going to buy and whatever, and he's looking at all the structural challenges that are. Yeah, cool stuff. Isn't that great? Guys, never be embarrassed to speak up again, ever. Please don't. What you have, look at me, men. What you have to say is valuable. And when it's not valuable is when you're not paying attention to the Lord. It's valuable when you are. You guys have incredible value. Carmen, is that who you're pointing to? Oh, I'm sorry, Carmen. So, did you hear the little hummer a while ago? You hear? Can I show you my version of the little hummer? When I write and when I'm happy about things, like on my Bible study, this is a, I don't know, I put this on. That's one of my little happy faces. And you, when you go back and you read the lesson, they're usually on the top, and it reminds me to enjoy it. You know, you got this one life, enjoy it. I put this on and I made it big, so I was like, you're done. And I was like, oh, I ought to share that with everybody. You know who that is? The Lord, myself, and Mary. Why myself first? Because I'm chauvinistic. No, because I'm her covering, right? It's not Mary and Dave, it's Dave and Mary. I'm her covering. Ladies, can I tell you something? When you marry a man and you give up your name to take his name, do you understand how Jesonian that is? How Jesus that is? Because when we come to him, he calls us by a new name. So when I see you women going, she was a Brachas. Now she's a Pierce. One syllable. You know? And my covering is over her. My name has covered her. That very much reminds me, erase that. That very much reminds me of his covering over me. I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for you women that give up your name so willfully like that. Father, we pray for each and every person here. We thank you for them, Lord. We thank you for them. We thank you for that little hummer, Lord. She reminds us what our hearts are like when we're content, Father. Thank you for the lesson. Thank you for the growth. Thank you for the same. Father, in your name, everybody said, amen. Love you guys. Yeehaw. We'll see you soon.
Love you
online.